What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Sports Ethos NBA DFS Today podcast. I am your host, Keith Quark. And hey, guys, it's been a while. How is everybody doing? I tell you what, let me say something. This Saturday slate, I feel great about it. I feel good about it. I feel really, really good in general. I've been, you know, working out again and getting all that in order. So I'm feeling so good. I'm going to give you the early slate as well as the main slate for this one. I'm also going to go ahead and drop in four player props, I believe I have for you in this show. Just to give you that from our wager pass, which is $15 a month. You can get it at sportsethos.com. But I am feeling, again, confident about this slate. Usually what that translates to is, pretty good night, pretty good day for me in one regard or another, whether it be the props or the DFS. Hopefully the DFS, though, because that's what you came here for. So let's get right into it, and I'm going to go ahead and pop that open. Apologize, I thought I had it open, but I did not. Here it comes. So the early slate is a two-game slate, and I honestly have some interest in both of these games. I think these are pretty interesting matchups, to say the least. The Detroit one, maybe not as interesting as the OKC-Dallas one in terms of, you know, how competitive it's going to be. But there is something to like from the DFS perspective on both sides, on both games. So we'll jump right into it here. The OKC Thunder are taking on the Dallas Mavericks. And we have a 1.5-point spread in favor of the Thunder. Seems fair. It's going to be a good game. Very close game. I love the moves the Mavericks made at the deadline here with adding Gafford, adding PJ Washington. So we're going to have to take that into effect, obviously. The Thunder added Gordon Hayward, but he will not be playing in this one. Probably not be playing until after the All-Star break at the very earliest. So, but we'll see. With OKC, there's a lot of different angles we can go here. But, you know, Jalen Williams is the guy at the top that really kind of stands out to me. Just his ability to score the basketball, especially late in the game. And this is going to be a close game. They're going to need that. His defensive ability as well. I'm assuming he'll get some switches onto Luka, have a chance to showcase his talents there. But at 6,900, I like the play. So we're going to go with that one as my kind of top guy on OKC. Going a little further down the list, you know, I think we're talking about who's going to guard Luka, you know, to start the game. And most of the time, I think it's going to be Lu Dort at 4,300. So he's definitely an intriguing guy. I'm keeping on my radar here. I didn't wind up with him in my kind of dummy lineup here. I will definitely tinker with this here before the games tip off tomorrow, but a couple other forwards that I really do like, so I didn't quite get to him there. So it is what it is, but I think he's still an excellent choice there. One other guy I'm looking at on the OKC Thunder I want to throw in here is Isaiah Joe at 3,200. Just coming back, you know, has missed how many games in a row? It's been a while. He hasn't played since the 29th of January is all I can see on DraftKings here. So it's been a hot minute since he got in the game, but he is the de facto sixth man for this team. You know, obviously they added Gordon Hayward. I would assume that, you know, Josh Giddey probably goes to the bench if they decide to start Hayward, and he's the sixth man then, which is obviously an upgrade over Isaiah Joe. Or they go with, you know, Giddey starts and continues to see maybe low 20s minutes, and they just have, you know, some combination of Joe and Hayward off the bench, which is a possibility as well. So one of those two ways. But for now, we don't have to worry about that. Isaiah Joe should still function as that sixth man. He's only 3,200. I think this is definitely more of a GPP play. Because, you know, obviously he's had some really stinkers recently. He's had a whole stretch of, looks like the last 5 games he's actually played in. He's scored under 14 DK points. So he hasn't been, you know, great recently, but hopefully he's healthy now, and you know, we've seen him go off for 20 to 30 DK points this season. He's got that in him. It's a two-game slate, guys, so you can't fade everybody. And I think to give you an edge, I don't think he's going to have high ownership, so it's a guy I want to definitely highlight here. So Isaiah Joe is the last guy in the Thunder there that I'm interested in. On the Dallas side, you know, Luka and Kyrie Irving, both healthy, not seeing a whole lot of value in spending up on those guys, honestly. I'm looking elsewhere. It's a two-game slate, so I, you know, obviously if either of those guys, Luka or Kyrie, goes bananas, the slate's broken. I mean, that's just kind of, it's always a risk, and if you don't have that guy, you know, you're just screwed. But, you know, I think it's possible here against OKC, but OKC's a pretty solid defensive team. You know, they give up points decently enough too, but I just think with both those guys healthy, they kind of eat into each other's value. So I didn't end up with either of them in my lineup here. You know, I may be even talking myself out of that now while I'm talking to you guys, because it's really hard to fade both of those guys. But let's just go past them because we know what they bring to the table. So there's nothing really that exciting to talk about with them anyway. So moving down, though, obviously, like I said, PJ Washington was added to the squad as well. Daniel Gafford, we expect them both to play in this one, so that's obviously going to slide people around a little bit here. You know, that being said, I only end up with one guy I like on the Dallas side, to tell you the truth, and that ended up being Daniel Gafford at 5,800. And yeah, no Derek Lively in this one, so Gafford should get all the center minutes. They're playing against the OKC Thunder. We know we like to attack them at the center position. You know, they have Chet Holmgren playing the center for them right now, which is not a terrible thing. He's better at blocking the ball off ball. He's not a great, like, gonna block your shot on ball defender. So, you know, I'm not enamored with that long term for them, honestly. I think, I don't know. I mean, it's hard. I mean, you can't sit Chet, right? Can you play him at power forward? I mean, I really do think so. So, you know, if they can add another big that's, you know, skilled and talented, can maybe step out and shoot also. I think that's a really impressive team if you end up with that kind of squad. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. Anyways, we're talking about the Mavericks now. Let's go back to the Mavericks. Yeah, Gafford, I like him a whole lot, heck of a lot here, though. It's a good matchup. He's going to have all the minutes in the world available to him. I know he's just joining a new team, so we might have to temper some expectations a little bit. But he should see minutes in the mid-20s, I would think, at the very least. So, yeah, I like him a whole lot. PG Washington, 5,700, is also a guy I'm going to be keeping my eye on. Didn't end up with him in my lineups. Like I said, I'm not, like, enamored with him here. But we saw what we could do on Charlotte, and we know what we can do when he has a little bit of space to operate. So, underrated player at this point, for sure. 5,700 is a very fair price for him. Trying not to mention everybody, honestly. Let's fade some people, right? Detroit. Let's talk about the Detroit Pistons at Los Angeles Clippers. 16-point dogs, the Pistons are. Not surprising. The Clippers are a very good basketball team. Probably my, I don't know. They might have supplanted Boston at this point is my favorite to win the title, honestly. I think Boston still has the edge, if I really think about it hard enough. But anyways, the Clippers are very good. And the Pistons are not, but they're getting better and they're playing their youth. So one of the storylines we've been following here on the fantasy side for sure is the youth movement here, the change at the deadline. This is a team that looks drastically different. So obviously that excites us in DFS and gambling and whatever you decide you want to do with that. But the Pistons are playing their young guys now. You know, I'm playing Jaden Ivey. I know it's a tough matchup. Excuse me, against the Clippers. It is a tough matchup here for sure. You know, I think Quentin Grimes probably gets it and plays this one, so maybe it takes a little bit of luster off of him there, but I really don't care. In games without Bojan Bogdanovic, I'm not even looking at games without Alec Burks as well, which I don't know if there's even many out there to sample from, but there are 7 games he played without Bojan Bogdanovic this season so far. That he was in, after he was inserted into the starting lineup. So we're looking at the last month or so. And in those 7 games, he topped 30% in most of them, right? I believe it was 5 of 7 of them. So, you know, we're looking at some massive usage here. 6,500 is really not that bad of a price to pay. It's a 2-game slate, like I said, you know, but, you know, the one negative here is that the matchup is difficult. The Clippers are a very good defensive team. Not just Kawhi, who, you know, I know he's become overrated defensively, but he still has a lot of length and can get in passing lanes and is athletic. So, and looking really great this season, by the way. But anyways, we're talking about the Detroit Pistons. So, you know, they've got some defenders there. I mean, Paul George is a fantastic two-way player. And you know, so they have the guys to throw at Jaden Ivey if he really, really gets hot. But that being said, just the usage, the opportunities there. So I want to ride with it. I think he's going to have another good game. I think he's going to have good games down the stretch of the season, to be honest with you guys. So I'm trying to get this done a little fast. So I'm sorry if I'm moving a little fast for you guys. Hopefully I'm not moving too fast. Anyways, who else do I like on Detroit? Fontecchio. Yeah, Simone Fontecchio will be joining them. He will be sliding into the starting lineup, taking the place of Bojan Bogdanovic, previous mentioned. So I do like him a whole heck of a lot, man. I liked him in Utah too. He is actually a very talented shooter, and that is definitely something that's going to help out the Pistons. So should start, should see. I mean, he was seeing basically starters minutes that we see normally in Utah on a Jazz team that's really good. And the Pistons just traded for this guy. They don't really have anybody to kind of hold him in check that they need to play. I mean, Oscar Thompson, I think he's going to get his minutes also. So, I'm not like super duper bullish on Fontecchio, but with his price tag here, which is $4,500, I mean, it makes all the sense in the world. I think, if he can nail two or three three-pointers for us, if he can grab four or five boards, it's a two-game slate. I know I keep saying that, but, your pickings are kind of slim, and I do like saving a little bit of cash here with Fontecchio. Of course, I don't have my lineup here, but I got to mention Sasser, Marcus Sasser. I still believe that. I mean, I think Grimes obviously coming in will complicate that at least a little bit. But I have to say that I think Sasser's got a very bright future here down the stretch of the season with this Pistons team. And in general, I think, he's going to be a very talented shooter in this league. I was all over him before that explosion. I don't think I played him in DFS, of course, but all over him in fantasy, at least in the, some deeper leagues. And then he had 17 points and 11 assists, in that game. So that's feeling pretty good. But obviously, he had 38 minutes. He's not, probably not going to see that again. So he's definitely a risky play. It is just I'm going to stop saying that. You guys know what kind of slate it is. It's a small slate. So, if you need a kind of a pivot, and I don't think a lot of people are going to have him because they're going to have those same reservations. Hey, Grimes is here. I want to play Grimes, who's only 3,800, by the way. And also definitely a guy that you want to look at possibly rostering. I'm not as bullish on Grimes. I'd rather have Fonteki or Sasser myself. But if you want to go Grimes, I get it, man. 3,800, it's hard to pass up. So, exciting team. Sorry for all that info, but there you go. Let's move on to the Clippers, though, real quick and try to hit this quickly. I like Paul George, 7,500 against Detroit. I think if Detroit can make this a basketball game, that's the guy I want them to carry through. His price has come down quite a bit because Kawhi's been playing so well. But we all know Paul George is the caliber of player that's just on the same level as Kawhi. So I have no reason to believe that he's not going to turn this around. Another guy you can look at if you're scripting this more for a blowout is Terrence Mann. Because the first guys are going to sit on the wings when they're up big in a basketball game is going to be Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. So it's Terrence Mann all day that's going to get assume some of those minutes. Okay, so just ran through those two games. I know that took a little bit longer than it usually does. Sorry, I'm very talkative tonight. Just want to take a moment here and just remind you guys, at Ethos Fantasy BK, you can find a whole bunch of news there. I write a lot of that. But obviously, we've got a team of content producers here that are just incredible. That's what I've dedicated a lot of my time to this season, and we are very proud of that. It's great information. We keep it up to date. There's a live injury report on the site as well, sportsethos.com. If you do nothing else, at least go check it out. There you go. All right. Let us move on, though, to the main slate. And, you know what? I did this last time, too. I need to, be a little bit better organized about this stuff. I do have some props. Props for you guys. Props. And they're actually all pretty much from those earlier games because I'm so excited about them. My first prop is Luka Doncic under 9.5 rebounds here, and that's widely available. You can find that in any sports book right now. It's at -125. I'm playing it for 1.25 units to win a unit. He's gone under the mark in 27 out of 44 games, which is 61.4% of games this season. But the Mavs, they just added P.J. Washington and Daniel Gafford, both of which are going to be available. They're going to play big minutes right out of the gate. Those are guys that I think you can just slide right in, especially play next to Luka Doncic, and they're going to have some really, really decent output. So, they're going to grab some boards away from Luka. He's had to board a lot recently, but, even with taking it into account, he's still gone under in 62% of the games. The Mavs are just trying to simplify this game for Luka and have him just be a scorer. So I like it a whole lot. Under rebounds there for Luka. Jaden Ivey, over 21.5 points. That's -115. That's a points bet, 1.15 units to win 1 units. We typically have him projected higher than this. So I don't think I had our projections up yet for tomorrow's games. And that's okay. Sometimes I don't need that. But It's a new day in Detroit. Bojan Bogdanović is gone. Alec Burks is gone. I told you he has 30%. He tops 30% usage without those guys, or without Bojan at least. And in those games, he's gone over in five of the seven games. So I like the over there on the points. And then the last one here, I mentioned him as well as one of my plays, but this is Terrence Mann over 7.5 points as well at minus 105. That's on points bet as well. And again, if they're going to sit somebody in the wings, if this ends up being a blowout, then there you go. They've got Terrence Mann sitting right there. And even if they don't, even if it's a close game, he could very well top 8 points. So I just like that whole heck of a lot. Okay, moving on. Let me take a sip of water here real quick. Cover your ears, all you people that hate the sound of swallowing, like me. Okay, moving on. We do have a later slate. I've got one more prop here for you guys. I already did my promo, so we'll just go right into it. And let me open that sucker up, and let's start talking. There's a couple games I'm going to skip in this one, too, so it's not going to go over long. Don't worry. We're going to try to fit this in here in the next 15 minutes. Philadelphia and Washington, though, I am interested in this one for sure from a DFS standpoint. The Philly side, of course, we've got no Embiid, possibly no Maxey, so obviously that's a big piece of news that we're waiting on that we just don't know anything about. But I like Tobias Harris, whether or not Maxey's playing at all. I think, the Philadelphia 76ers want to win. They're going to put this Washington team away. I think they're going to play really well. And, Tobias Harris has gotten just a whole bunch of usage, and he's definitely worth rostering at this point in fantasy. Of course, if Maxey plays, I would consider him as well. If I play him, I probably wouldn't play him with Harris. So I'm assuming he's out because it is the Wizards, and I think that the Philadelphia 76ers can beat this team by a whole heck of a lot, even without Maxey. So there you go. Kelly Oubre Jr., of course, 6,400. Same reasoning there. They just need his offensive output. I know they're going to get, some guys available here as well. So, we have to see how that all affects things. They've got Buddy Hield. Well, they just had Buddy Hield. They already had him sit here. But we have to see how, it looks with everybody healthy. So I'm not really into Paul Reed, but I get it. And you can play him. That's fine. I think he's a fine play. I think there's definitely a floor there that we found. I mean, he was sick, though, for those two games, supposedly. I don't know why he played if he was that sick. But that's the story, right? He shot the ball terribly. I don't know. Everyone's a little different. Who cares? The last two games have been really good. And he's only 5,900. He's not like putting up impressive numbers for that price tag, but they're fine. And I think, I'm just worried about a potential floor play. He's hard to trust. Every time I seem to play the guy or roster the guy in fantasy or whatever, he's a dud. And I know you guys, some of you guys have had that same experience. I'm just worried about that here. It's not a game you get up for either against the Washington Wizards. So, Buddy Hield at 5,000. I had him in my original lineup. I took him out at some point, but I may add him back in. I actually ended up with 1,100 left in my salary here. I just love a lot of the cheap guys on the slate, of course. So, but yeah, I think Buddy Hield at 5,000 is definitely more than fair, especially if we get the news that Tyrese Maxey is going to be out. That's kind of where the cutoff is there. Don't think I'd go any deeper than those guys. But yeah, I think right now as it stands, Tobias Harris is my favorite kind of all-around play there. And I think honestly I'll end up with one of them in my lineup for sure, guaranteed, but I just don't know exactly which one at this point. So moving on to the Washington side, this is honestly just pretty much a skip for me. I don't like anyone here. Bilal Coulibaly. I know I got corrected on this on the show, and I'm trying my best, guys. I really promise. Anyways, he got a whole bunch of shot attempts in the last game, and he had 12 shot attempts. So, if he gets something like close to that workload again, he had 40.5 DK points. I mean, I'm not going to project him or guess that he's going to end up there as well, and I have the same kind of trust issues with him as I do with Paul Reed, but, we see a big workload here, and that's at 4,500. That's definitely worth at least investigating. I'm curious if Marvin Bagley plays here. I don't think I play him either way, but he would definitely be an interesting guy if he does. But yeah, we'll have to see about that one. So that's kind of not a big one, but one we're keeping our eye on a little bit at least. But I'm probably going to fade the Wizards anyways, because I do think the Philadelphia 76ers are just going to stomp them. So anyways, Memphis at Charlotte. Memphis at Charlotte's -4 in favor of the Grizzlies. 221.5 is the game total. That Sixers game is 3.5 point favorites in favor of the Sixers. I think I locked in at like -1.5. So that's good line movement there. 338 is the game total. So there you go for that one. Okay. Memphis. Yeah, this is I love this game. Okay. I'm gonna try not to talk 10 minutes about this game. Let's just try to hit this quickly. Okay, for the Memphis Grizzlies. I absolutely love Jemison here. And Trey Jemison. Sorry, I had to like look up his last name. I know this is his first name. Trey Jemison. I know that's not a household name. I know you guys some of you guys at least are scratching your head. But guys who've been following or serious DFS players know who he is. But obviously they're playing Charlotte. We like to target Charlotte at the center position. Jemison, I talk about trust issues with Paul Reed, but yeah, this guy would be like Uber that way because he had a 14.75 DK point game, a 26 DK point game, and a 6.5 DK point game. And it's the matchup here, right? The matchup really makes me, and the fact that they seem to want to play him big minutes here down the stretch because they are ruling out. Well, Zaire Williams may come back, but I mean, they're not going to play. I don't think they're going to play Yuta Watanabe or Lamar Stevens like a boot tons of minutes. Now I'm oscillating on that. I could see a world where Lamar Stevens, I like him actually a little bit here, could see some significant minutes. It's hard for me to like wager on that though, because I just don't know which direction they're going to go. But they seem to want to play Jemison at least 20 minutes a game. And he's only 3,700. And again, against the Charlotte Hornets, I think we're going to have some ownership edge here. But yeah, he's a risky play for sure. Vince Williams Jr., of course, you guys know my love for Vince Williams Jr. if you've been following at all. He's my top play here for the Memphis Grizzlies against a really weak Charlotte Hornets, defense, of course. But just the usage the last few games. I know people have been out and they've been a little bit more injured than they are now. They're coming to this one a little bit healthier than they had been. But the minutes he's been seeing the last few games, the usage, all of that. I mean, I love it. He almost had a triple double last game, 13, 11, and 8. So if you don't know about this guy yet for some reason, obviously go know about him. But yeah, I like him a lot in this matchup. But yeah, I think, people are going to roster Gigi Jackson and Luke Kennard and Santi Aldama. I think they're fair prices, but I mean, I'm not stacking up on Memphis Grizzlies. I've got two in my lineup right now. That's kind of the way I look at it because this game just could go absolutely sideways. We just don't know. Such ridiculous things could happen. On the Charlotte side, I end up with one guy, and we're just going to go ahead and skip to that guy because I think the other plays in this game are, they're fine, but there's better value in other games around the slate. So, Trey Mann, though, at 3,000, absolute rock bottom pricing. I see no world in which he doesn't play at least 20 minutes, right? I mean, they released Ish Smith. They're not playing Kyle Lowry. I'm pretty sure he got released as well. No, he's still on the team, I guess. Maybe they're hanging on to him to trade him or something. Seth Curry, I don't really see them playing him either. Maybe. But I don't see it happening, man. And they've got no one else, so Ball's not playing, I would assume. I don't know if he plays the end of the season, which is crazy, but let's assume Ball's out. I really don't think that they're gonna play Trey Mann. Like they're not gonna play Seth Curry over him, at least not more minutes than him. So Trey Mann at 3,000, even though he seems risky, I think he's a lock. I mean, no doubt. So I'm interested to see what he does here, for sure, and what the Charlotte rotation looks like for sure. I toy with some Brandon Miller here. I think if you land on Brandon Miller, he's a really intriguing guy, and he's been playing very well. Man, he's going to be very good. So they got a really good one there with Brandon Miller. So I don't mind landing on him either. Okay, Chicago and Orlando, skip. Just no. No, this two. I think it was 217 was the game total here. 218 now. It looks like it climbed a little bit, but yeah, I just don't do it. Don't do it to yourselves. I think it's gonna be a good basketball game. I just think it's gonna be a very defensive game. The pace is gonna be pretty darn slow, so it's just not something we want to target for DFS. But if you like, good slow defensive basketball, because the Bulls and the Magic have both been very very good on defense this season, and at this point, there's too much data to argue otherwise. So, Bulls started pretty slow there in the start because of Levine kind of, for lack of a better term, just giving it half effort, right? You know what I was gonna say. The first month of the season or so was that, but now that we've gotten that out, past that team, they look like a pretty decent ball club. So I'm going to pass that one. Cleveland, Toronto, same thing. I think, there's not a lot to love here, honestly. That game is at Cleveland's. I'm not sure if I'm. Oh, here it is. Minus 8 points in favor of Cleveland. It's 228.5 for the game total. I just don't have a lot of. I mean, all the Cleveland guys are just too expensive for me at this point. In the Toronto guys, I just. I played quickly in this last one. I thought that was a good play. But it's hard for me to trust anyone outside of that. I think Olynyk being there is interesting, but I want to see his role first before I try playing him. Maybe he can end up with some Gary Trent Jr., but it's just, I didn't like anything there. Houston at Atlanta, though, definitely like some stuff there. Anytime Atlanta's involved, we pretty much like that. But Houston also fits that mold pretty well, too. So some really good games on this slate. As I said, I'm pretty excited about this one. The Houston Rockets, so what I've looked past and realized, obviously, at this point is Dylan Brooks is the clear guy that's going to pick up on that usage in the offense with Fred VanVleet on the sidelines, it looks like. So I'm going to roll with that because I really do think, it's just in him, right? He just wants to shoot shots. He really, really badly wants to do that whenever he steps in the court. So let's just assume he keeps doing that and what we know about him remains true. 15 shots and 13 shot attempts in the last two games, so. Sucking up a lot of usage, shooting a lot of shots. Again, they're playing the Atlanta Hawks. Lots of pace there. We like the way they get up and down the floor. So, I like everything about this play. I think he's definitely a lock for me in all my lineups at this point. Go Dylan Brooks. I think Amen Thompson at 6,000 is interesting. Just to that point with, no Fred VanVleet, I've been playing him instead of Dylan Brooks, and now I'm switching. So, of course, he'll probably have a fantastic game, but I also think he's an interesting play and more of a pivot play as well for GPPs. And I did like some Jabari Smith Jr. You guys know I like Jabari Smith Jr. At this point, if you don't, sorry, one second. If you don't, know my love for Jabari Smith Jr., I have a whole lot of it. This kid, I think, is going to be very, very decent, down the stretch of the season, but also just going forward. I think he's got a really high ceiling for that guy. So, likely he blocks shots, likely he hits triples, just like his game. So, yeah, I like some Jabari Smith Jr. here as well. On the Atlanta side, I don't think, oh, yeah, no, I, of course, there's one guy, I'm trying to think if there's anyone else here. I don't think so. The only guy I really have interest in here is Onyeka Okongwu. And yeah, I'm still going to play him. Just back-to-back 40 DK point games. Looks incredible out there. I mean, I've got him in, I think, one fantasy team. I think I might have had him in another and dropped him. But, this is the best case scenario. Well, the way he's been playing the last two games is, that will convince the Hawks to play him over Clint Capella and possibly to play him more significant, well, I mean, for sure, more significant minutes over Capella. So, more of a 70-30 split, let's say, instead of a, basically 50-50 split. Anyways, kid's very good. Got high talent. Love his offensive game. Love his defensive game. Let's play some American Congo. So there you go. Anyone else? Yeah, no one else on the Hawks. So moving on to the Indiana Pacers and the New York Knicks, minus four in favor of the Pacers, 231.5 is that game total. And looking at the Knicks here, the biggest question on this whole slate probably is, is Brunson going to play or not? If Brunson plays, I think I play Brunson. Tom Thibodeau is his coach. He's going to come out and play his full 40 minutes. You guys know this. On the Knicks, that's definitely what we're looking at, though. Is Brunson in? Is he out? If he's out, Dante DiVincenzo, fine. I think, you're paying $8,300 for him at this point. I would rather spend up on some of those other guys we talked about earlier in the show. I think, Kyrie's, what, $400 more than him. So I would rather go that direction, honestly. But I get it. He's chucking up a ton of shots, and if Brunson's out, he's probably going to do that again, so I understand. Josh Hart, same kind of thing with me. He's at 7,000 now. It's kind of like the wave's already over. It's time to jump ship, but I get it, man. I mean, he had a huge game in the last one. He had a triple-double, but I mean, they're playing the Pacers, and I think people will. I don't know. It's hard to say. Will they lean into that or won't they? I don't know. I'll have to think about that a little bit more. But I feel I feel the same way right now about Hart. So, you know, anyone else on the Knicks that I'm kind of looking at? I mean, you know, Bojan Bogdanović likely going to play in this one. So that's, you know, a big reason that we're not looking at those guys again, you know, even if Brunson's out. I mean, I would trust those guys over. I'd trust a Bojan at 6,500 for sure. Alec Burks at 5,500 is a bit more intriguing because of the pricing and because he's played for this coach before, obviously. So, you know, he's an interesting guy, 5,500. I could see a world in which I get to him, which I'm looking at now because I'm like, oh, man, I'm talking myself into it. But, yeah, I think he's the more interesting guy out of their new additions there. But, yeah, that's what I like on the Knicks side there. On the Pacers, let's see. Didn't end up with anybody, but, you know, a lot of these guys are the same guys that I, you know, somewhat like that I've been kind of touting the last, I don't know, month. But it's Nesmith at 5,800. Nesmith, I'm not sure. I think it's Nesmith. But Mathurin at 5,200. You know, those two guys, I think, are guys that I will go to as a pivot in GPPs because they're just going to go overlooked. And they've been playing really well. You know, obviously, we believe Halliburton's going to play in this one. Siakam as well. You know, they're going to get theirs. Miles Turner's been really struggling as of late, so I don't really have interest in playing him. But, you know, he could rebound any time. He's only 6,000, so not a bad pivot there either. But yeah, I think Nesmith and Mathurin are the two guys that I would personally target, so. Rambling on and on. Anyways, last game. Let's get to this because, of course, it's another good one. This is just a great slate. Phoenix Suns at Golden State Warriors. And the Phoenix Suns are 2-point favorites. I think I got that at 1.5. I like the Suns here, obviously, if you haven't gleaned that. But, yeah, Suns at Warriors. Really nice game here. Total here is 240.5. Which I believe second highest on the, well, it's the highest on the main slate. Sorry, second highest on the total slate, with OKC and Mavericks being higher, but currently at the time of this recording. But anyways, going to be a great game, going to be a fun game, entertaining game. A lot of people are going to tune in. I am sure it's going to be two teams that could meet in the playoffs. It could happen. So, Kevin Durant returning to Golden State with a better team in tow. Yeah, that's really all the reasoning I need to even start looking at the Phoenix Suns on the other side here. But I want him in my lineups here. He's going to be my top play. I don't think he's going to be hot, like super duper highly owned. And I do like the late hammer aspect of it, of course. I mean, that's a whole psychological thing. It doesn't really matter where you play your best play guys or the salary, but it's always fun to watch, you know, your guys climb at the end of the night as opposed to sink. But I do think people are going to have pieces of this game for sure. I think it'd be kind of crazy to skip this game because it is going to be competitive. It is going to be up and down. Neither of these teams is particularly great at defense. So, you know, it could be an offensive show, an offensive explosion for sure. So on the Sun side, though, KD for sure, my top spend up. Grayson Allen, we can't, you know, he's only 5,300. It's so tempting, but like with the new additions of Royce O'Neal, David Roddy, does he lose minutes? That's a question here. And I don't know, game one, I don't know if that's true. I mean, I think, you know, it's possible that he still continues to play basically his full allotment of minutes because he's definitely earned that. He's definitely played well enough for that. Like, there's no doubt about it. And Royce O'Neal and David Roddy, I mean, definitely David Roddy, but Royce O'Neal may be just, you know, I don't want to say emergency death, but end of bench death, a depth, right? Or emergency, you know, if Grayson Allen goes out, you have Royce O'Neal to slide right in there or something like that. Like that, that's where he fits in. So so I think you can still play some Grayson Allen at 5,300. So that's my opinion there. Eric Gordon at 4,800 is a guy I would definitely toss out. That's the guy that just gets no more love now because they're just better players there than him. I mean, you know, I got some Eric Gordon love. I think he's a fantastic scorer, but and he's had some nice nights. But yeah, I think the overall skill set, I'd rather have the other guys. So, anyways, Golden State Warriors. On this side of the ball, of course, you've got Steph Curry. 9,800 against the Suns. Yeah, I mean, makes all the sense in the world. I'm going KD, so obviously I'm not going Steph Curry, but if it comes to that and I have to pivot because I really want to get some other guys in, I like both sides of that, obviously. So Steph Curry is another guy, very close to basically KD. If I can find some more value on this slate here, I could probably get up to him looking at the pricing here. So that's what I'll probably work on doing. Kuminga 7,400, also pretty decent, I would say. I'm probably not going to end up with him at this point. I think he's going to be pretty well owned anyway. So I'm not going there personally. So I'm not into Draymond Green. Just not going to have those explosions and have the upside. Pajemski, really not super into him with Klay playing either. So, honestly, a lot of these guys I'm just pretty meh on. But Curry for sure. And then Wiggins at 5,400 is the guy that really like intrigues me. Because he does have that ceiling. He does have that ceiling for sure. So, and we've seen it recently. But that's it, guys. Those are a couple of Warriors I like there. Sorry, I'm starting to lose my voice here. It's been a long day, a long couple of days. Hope you guys enjoyed our deadline show. But I am Keith Cork. You can find me on Twitter at ethoskeith, at ethoskeith. Please do follow the show at ethosdfs. And I will catch you guys all on the next one. Until next time, go get that money. And oh, I'm back. You didn't think I was going to forget that last player pop, did you? Of course not. Hopefully you listened till now. But if you did, congratulations. You get the last one. I've got Franz Wagner under 20.5 points. And that's minus 120, 1.2 units to win 1 units on ESPN. He's went under in one of two games against the Bulls this season, going against my Bulls there. And his one over came earlier in the season where he was basically playing against, a 4v5 on defense with the Bulls, with Zach sulking and everything like that. So over the last 2 months, the Bulls have been one of the most underrated defenses for sure. And as long as Caruso is healthy, man, I think they got somebody to throw at Franz Wagner. So there's my last play there, my last prop, Franz Wagner under 20.5 points.